Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to MV Talk Radio's broadcast of January 28, 2015. My name is Mike McCoy, and Deanna Reeder will be joining us shortly to review the state of civic affairs in Moreno Valley, California. You can catch us as a podcast by going to our internet site at blogtalkradio.com. In the search box, enter MV City Talk and navigate to our show or any archived show from the past. You are welcome to phone us directly and be on the show at 946-929-0610 and follow the instructions given by the automated operator, or email Deanna for help. You may email us at any time at stopvotesforsale@gmail.com. That's stopvotesforsale@gmail.com. And Deanna will do her best to respond to your questions. Thank you all for listening in. Now let's get started. Well, last night at the Moreno Valley City Council, we had a very lengthy meeting. It started at about 6 o'clock and went on through to 1:15 at least until major issues that were on the agenda were discussed. And we had numerous public comments from the public at the beginning of the meeting. The meeting room at the council chambers and an outside foyer or lobby and even out into the sidewalk were completely filled with people, and it was wall-to-wall inside the main council chambers. Everything went orderly for a while, and then we went on into the consent calendar, and about four items on that calendar were pulled for various lengths of discussion, but then they were all basically passed without a lot of controversy. We went on through a number of other routine items and special things that had to be taken care of by legal requirements on the city about these various agencies that they are part of. The public hearings went pretty smooth, and we went on through those, and finally we went to item E4, which was the Prologis project there, as you know, along the 60 freeway near the Auto Mall. And so Deanna, at the end of that meeting, at least the Prologis part, a lot of us were not totally surprised by the outcome. I hope you were able to listen to what happened, or if not, I'll fill our viewers in on the way I saw it come down. What do you think?
Now, it wasn't completely unexpected, but, you know, at one point in time, Benzivi actually did not want the Prologis project to be approved. And so it was Benzivi's people that talked against the Prologis project.
Well, they changed their tune, I would say, last night.
But then Benzivi changed his thinking and figured if Prologis did not get approved, that it might be harder to get his World Logistics Center approved. So he changed his stance, and of course, when he changes his stance, his people change their stance. So, so his people, of course, were speaking for it.
That's interesting because they seem to have an air of inevitability now about the World Logistics Center because Prologis made it, they're going to make it.
Well, you know, with the council that we have, that's a pretty much a foregone conclusion. It's not a foregone conclusion that it will be actually built, but it is, to me, a foregone conclusion that the three council members that approved Prologis will also approve the World Logistics Center. Benzivi didn't spend that money to not get the votes that he wanted.
A number of people have also said that 3-0 gang is still up there, basically, now. Maybe a few names have changed, but it's up there.
Well, you know, I mean, he buys his votes. It's that simple. You know, he buys council members, and when he buys them, they know that their vote is expected. So,
Hello?
Yeah, that's what I'm just, you know, saying that at one point in time when he didn't want it is when it had the possibility of not passing. But when he wanted it to pass, it definitely was going to pass. I mean, he paid to make sure he got the influence he wanted on that council. He does.
Yeah, he's got the influence. And was an interesting part of the applicant's presentation that at least twice they alluded to a negative image that the WLC applicant process has torn apart the community in various ways, and they didn't want to be associated with either the political power or the influencing of elected officials and other controversy that the WLC has precipitated in our city. That was done at least twice in maybe a twisted way or so, and I think it added a little bit to the Prologis approval, the fact that they were operating a clean house and a good project compared to the questionable things going on from the Ben Zeevy crowd.
The truth is, Prologis did not make any campaign contributions. Prologis did not buy any of their influence. What Prologis did do, and it did, was it talked to council members ahead of time. But what Prologis talked to were Frank West, Bonnie Flickinger, Bill Beatty, and Richard Stewart. And those are the people that told Prologis at that time that they would be inclined to approve the project. And so they bought the property believing that it was going to get approved.
And that was brought up a couple times, too, last night, and by the public speakers. Now, I'm going to change a little bit here and go off to a little bit of a different subject, and that is some of our agenda comments, our opening comments that were on any subject the speakers wanted to bring up before the regular agenda started. And one of the commenters, excuse me.
Now, see, I was outside through most of those. I arrived just a little bit after the meeting started, so I they started the not on agenda comment, so I didn't get a speaker slip in, but I was out and sitting on a chair out there that they had and trying to listen to them because they were very loud out there. So I could tell the people that were speaking, and I could hear a lot of what was being said, but I didn't hear everything.
Well, I'll just mention a few briefly. Most of them you probably did hear. And for one, myself, I spoke near the beginning, and I stressed that they should not approve any overriding consideration schemes to allow companies and developers to avoid full environmental compliance. I said it was a bad thing to do, and I won't go into a lot of details, but I did want to talk about what other people said, and I noticed that Dave Marquez was there, and he brought up the subject of a lot of trash is starting to emerge around the city in vacant lots and things, and once it cleaned up. There was a lady who was a medical doctor associated with Lung Association, the American Lung Association, and she urged the council to have a study with the Air Quality District and others to really learn about the impacts of warehouses and their traffic on the environment, and especially air quality. She alluded to the fact that probably most of the council members did not have a good, adequate technical background, and they were voting on things that they weren't aware of that were bad for the environment. Scott, he applauded the town hall meetings idea that we're having, and he wanted a citywide one, a couple of them where we could all be together. And he also brought up an item that had also been brought up by other speakers, and they went to both sides, and that was whether or not the investigation of criminal and corruption on the various officials in our city, is that still ongoing? Have people been cleared? And they went back and forth. Some said that Ben Zeevy and the other council members and so on are clean and nothing's ever going to happen to them. And others said they actually went down to the FBI and went through a little document request, and they spoke to some people in person at the FBI and other agencies who said they just can't tell anything right now. And there was a lot of discussion on that. Most of the people from the what we call the Ben Zeevy Brigade of his supporters, they went on and on repeating what seemed to be, in my opinion, canned speeches where they blamed everything that's wrong with the city on the opponents of the warehouses. And they also claimed that the warehouses would be a panacea for everything that's wrong with the city because of the jobs they would purportedly bring. So those are some of the highlights from that part. There were many speakers. I've only covered maybe about a third of them here in our little discussion. So Deanna, did you have anything that you picked up on, or would you like to go right into those consent calendar items?
No, actually, the not on agenda comments, I thought it was very interesting. One of the obviously supporting the World Logistics Center was telling how hard it is to get a one of these temp agency jobs to work in the warehouse, and he'd been doing that for a long time. And if you get if you leave one temp agency, then you can't come back, and he was going on about how bad it is, and yet he was supporting the World Logistics Center. So basically he was supporting what our argument is. I guess these people literally do not comprehend that if this World Logistics Center gets built, it's going to be a bunch of warehouses that are going to be staffed with a bunch of temps to do the day-to-day stuff, and they're going to end up paying, you know, a few high-priced people that are going to, you know, build the computer system, program the computer system and fix it, and you're going to have some high-priced management, and they're going to make decent wages. But the day-to-day stuff that the people that they have in these are not going to be the upscale jobs. These are going to be the people that work at the temps, and they were talking about how horrendous that environment was. It just slayed me that those people do not comprehend that they're making our argument while they're talking for the World Logistics Center.
Well, that's what Fantasyland programs, such as Ben Zeevy's program for the World Logistics Center, where he hits only the high points. They've been brainwashed into believing that part of it, but yet somehow it shut off the other part of their brain that's experiencing the disappointment of being a temp. Right, what do you say?
Well, you know what, and then, and, you know, we had, you know, one person said, well, you shouldn't be listening to what people tell you because you were elected by the people to represent them. And I just found, well, if they're not supposed to listen to the people, why are you up there talking? You shouldn't be talking either.
I know there was a lot of disconnect.
Want them
that.
To listen to people that
people.
You didn't agree with is what I distinctly got the impression of. But that seems to be what the pro-WLC people seem to think, that their views are the only ones that are legitimate and the rest of us don't count, no matter how many of us there are.
Very good. How would you like to tell us about what happened on those items that regarding the charging station at Walmart? And did you have any more to say about the web contract for Edgemont waterline studies or the things that are going to be happening over at the public works yard?
Well, from the time that I had read the agenda until last night, someone had told me, and I actually forgot about this, that they had already previously paid Web Associates some money for work on the Edgemont water design. And so I did ask that question, and they answered it. They did pay Web Associates previously, but what they had paid them previously was not what they're paying them for now. This is actually more work that they're actually doing because they have to have 35% of the design done before they can get a grant for it.
Finish it up.
Hopefully, you know, I mean, I definitely want to go forward with the project, but I did, you know, tell them that if we've already paid for something, I don't want to pay for something twice. So they assured us
that you brought it up.
Yes. So they assured me that they weren't. Well, they assured everybody. The charging station, I don't think they gave any really overriding reason why they picked the Walmart parking lot to put it, except that the Rancho Belago apartments are across the street. But the Rancho Belago apartments aren't the only apartments in the city of Moreno Valley, and there's other places. A lot more apartments than there are at the Rancho Belago. So I wasn't satisfied with that answer, but that was their answer. And
I was encouraged to see that they were looking also for other possible spots for such charging stations in the city.
Well, it's RCTC that really would like charging stations all across the freeway so that when people go from one city to another, they will still be able to charge. You know, they should be able to go beyond their own city. And at this particular point in time, they can't always do that because there aren't charging stations somewhere else for them to go to. So they're encouraging cities, and I don't think it was RCTC they got the grant from, but that is one entity that's been working on that.
Mm-hmm.
And the MOU, I knew they would approve it. I mean, they're getting better, but they're still overly generous, in my opinion, because employees that were hired before September of 2011 can still accumulate up to 1,664 hours of leave. And if you divide that by 40 hours a week, that's 41.6 weeks of leave that they can accumulate, which is why they're doubling their money whenever they separate from the city, either for being terminated or at retirement. Because, I mean, almost 42 weeks of pay, you know, you're almost talking a year of pay there. So they're almost doubling.
Mm-hmm.
So I still don't think that's a good idea. But at least the new employees hired after that can accumulate more than 800, but still, they need to go back, and some of these older employees, they need to cut down on the amount they can accumulate. That is just too much. It's a ridiculous amount.
Interesting. I'm going to look at our program here, and let's see if we can do some of the items first that are toward the end of our little schedule that we have, and then we'll come back and leave the remainder of our program to further go into the analysis and comments of the Prologis vote. I'd like to first say that I was kind of disappointed at the meeting by a number of our housekeeping items. And the mayor, unfortunately, Mr. Mayor, you need to handle some of the items better so that you don't commingle consent items that are pulled from ones that are still on the agenda that aren't pulled, and try to run the program a bit more professionally. So there are not a lot of people getting confused. Where are we? Where are we? And make sure that the site plans are placed on the boards so that people in the audience can see what's going on when they describe these complex site plans. And we're sitting there squinting, trying to find out what's going on. And then the technical flub, 45 minutes, the computers were down. I saw some of the staff run back into the room back there, the little room, quite upset with the way the meeting was not going. I know things can happen. We all have flubs, but please try to prepare better for the meetings in that regard. Now, there is a community meeting coming up it's going to be hosted by some pro World Logistics Center supporters. It's going to be over in that shopping center there off of Day and Ironwood in Buck Springs. And I heard it was open to the public, and they wanted you to RSVP, and 200 people will be there, and that's it. So I'm hoping that some people have said a lot of the people like us that are opposed to the WLC should go there and try to find out more of what they're telling so that we know how to respond better. And Deanna, did you have any comment on that, or do we have other meetings coming up too that you wanted to mention before we get back to the major discussion?
Well, no, I think it probably is a good idea for people to consider going, even if they're opposed to the WLC, one, to see what they're saying, because Benzibi went to all the WLC meetings that Residents for Livable Marina and the CCAEJ put on, obviously not because he is opposed to it, but because he wanted to know what was being said. The other thing is to prove that we know what the project is, you know, because some of us can discern between, you know, fact and fantasy. I mean, he's put together a fantasy project, giving all these, you know, rosy projections that we know are about as realistic as, you know, the problem Skechers. I mean, it just slays me that people literally cannot comprehend the difference between reality and fantasy.
It would be good for our speakers to be there to ask a few questions if we're called on, so that we can dissuade the views that Luis Palomares likes to say, that we're monsters and things like that, liars. If we could just have a chance to stand up and be given the same amount of time as anyone else to ask a few questions, the others in the audience might say, not so bad, they might have a point. It would be good for us to be there. Any other meetings coming up?
Well, you know what, next week is a study session. And on it are the rules for city council meetings, how things get put on the agenda, what order things are on the agenda, how speakers are treated, what they can say, how long they can speak, who can stop them from speaking, who can limit the number of speakers on a topic. There are lots of different things. So anybody that values speaking at a city council meeting is going to want to go to that study session next week.
And that's at 6 p.m. on February 3rd.
Yes.
And I did read the staff report on the rules, and I didn't see anything that said, we are entertaining suggestions for changes or improvements. It just read the current rules, and I guess it's an open discussion after that point.
Well, basically, when they put something on the agenda on a study session, the idea is the city council think it needs some work, it doesn't think it needs some work, it's something it wants to bring back, it's not something it wants to bring back. But this is where people have the opportunity and the base to tell the council what they think. And a lot of people overlook this opportunity at a study session to give their input. But a lot of times what happens at a study session is what comes back to an agenda on a consent calendar. So this is really the time where you have the opportunity to actually make an impact on what comes back, you know, at least theoretically. I'm not even saying that right.
I'm glad you pointed that out, because you're correct, because I've seen that happen before myself. It's true. They're also going to have some long-range general fund projections prepared by staff to take a look at, and it'd be interesting. There's some PowerPoints on the agenda, ladies and gentlemen, you might look over, so I don't know if they're going to paint a very rosy or a very gloomy projection over the next 15 years or whatever they have here, and to see what our funding is going to be like. So I'll look at it later this evening, but it should be interesting. And, Deanna, are we going to be on next week?
Yes, we are.
On the 4th? Okay. And did you have any other meetings that were coming up that you were aware of that are pretty important?
I hadn't pulled up the calendar yet. I usually do that at the end.
But I can save you on this one, because in your emails you always give a good listing of agencies people can click on and get to on their own. You don't always have to put it on there for us. So folks, go back to Deanna's emails.
I'm hoping that, you know, people, once they can easily see what is going on, that they might want to actually partake of, you know, whatever event is coming up.
Good idea. Now, let's return to the main subject, which was the Prologis discussion, the public input, the presentation of the applicant, staff's comments, and the comments of the city council or elected officials as they went into making this decision. One of the things that was brought up was many, many people said they were on the fence, they could go either way, and that both sides had good arguments and had put their best foot forward, and it was a tough job. The council's, the whole city's future could be riding on this vote. And that's one thing that I got. And we had some excellent speakers during the testimony by the public, like Mr. Thornsby. He summed it all up, and he said that the overpasses were going to be a mess and that mixed use was far more beneficial. More jobs were provided by mixed use and business parks. And he also warned the council not to assume that the building permit fees that all these warehouses will have initially, they're not a revenue stream. Don't count on them for money. I was very impressed by the work that he did. Did you hear anything yourself that you wanted to bring up that the different speakers had said, or were you like a lot of us? We were in bed by that time.
Well,
I have
actually,
a lot of notes I could carry on.
Well, I'm going to let you carry on because I actually did leave the meeting before they finished with Prologis. They had just brought it up. They were doing the staff report, and I was hoping the meeting would be earlier. I was hoping at least I could stay there for public comments, but I wasn't able to, and no, I did not watch the meeting. I have seen some of the comments on the Facebook and such, but I wasn't there the way you were. I'm going to let you sum this part up.
Okay. Thank you, Deanna. And listeners, I do have some high points for you, both pro and con and just descriptive of the project. For one thing, I was asked by Mrs. Demson, our councilwoman, that was this going to be a spec building or build to suit? Spec means they don't have a tenant really signed up yet, but they might have some feelers. They're just going to build it anyway, and they will come. And build a suit means they already know who they're building it for, and it can be customized. George Price claimed that the staff report and the developer's EIR were inadequate in the way they did not adequately cover the feelings and the concerns of the neighbors, both nearby and within, like, say, a mile or two. Like, they never went around and took a poll or had a meeting that they said they could say that, well, people expressed concern about this and this, and he thought that made the report inadequate. Roy, as you know, one of our best speakers in this community, and he's been a longtime activist, he said that he believed they should just go ahead and grant them the right at some point to build all the six buildings they originally had looked at. And then people went on, and many people complained about how bad the overpass is going to be. They're going to be gummed up terribly once this is built, and there isn't any money in sight to upgrade the remainder of Nason, Merino Beach on the north side of 60, or the Redlands Boulevard ramps, and it was going to be a real problem. A lot of people said they're already experiencing difficulty there during the morning commute. Now, the applicant said their projects, when built out, would create 400 or more jobs, permanent ones. He didn't say if there were temp or not, and he said there would be approximately 1,000 construction jobs. So that was not debated a lot. He did not want to go out onto a limb claiming outrageous employment benefit. He was very modest and conservative, and he was lauded by the council for not promising the world with these buildings. He also claimed, I'm talking about the applicant, Mr. Cavanaugh was his name, he said truck emissions are falling rapidly and that the air pollution problems have been overstated by the opponents. But some of us reminded him that those emission charts that he showed were for future trucks as they come in, new trucks, but old trucks are still out there on the road and they're still smogging pretty much at the same rate they were before. And trucks registered out of state don't have to meet standards as high as California-based trucks. Well, anyway, there were other testimonies that went on. And Daryl Terrell, for example, said, is there a way to have an ordinance here in Moreno Valley that the developer or the property owners have to hire Moreno Valley people first? And he cited there were 11 other cities in California, but the applicant said that by doing that, we would be interfering with capitalism. And he made other comments that it just wouldn't work for the tenants that he was anticipating. A few people on the council mentioned an interest in it. Maybe something will be done or could be, researched. People also expressed concern about property values being negatively impacted by this Prologis project. In fact, that council member Price said that too. Finally, the public speakers were done. There was a rebuttal by the developer. He answered a few questions. And then the council deliberations were very short. They were done in like 5 minutes, and you could tell right away by some of the hints that they gave that when the vote was taken, which side would they fall on. And so we have Zaiva, Gutierrez, and Molina in favor, and Jemson and Price against. So that's it. They were glad it was over. I was not surprised. And Deanna, what did you think?
You know what, I was hoping that because Gaiba voted no at the Planning Commission that he would vote no, but I was not overly optimistic, and we only have a few seconds left, so it's time to say goodnight, Moreno Valley. Thank you for listening, and tune in next week.
Thank you, Deanna, and good night, Moreno Valley.